Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Call Banks is brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com. Discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles by Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all, and by York Install Confidence, the two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58, our good buddy Call Banks. Call, how are you?
I am doing good. How about you guys?
Doing all right.
Fantastic.
Hey, can I just say this, sure. Evan?
Yes.
D'Angelo Russell, now I knew he was nice. He is playing right now with the swag of like James Harden. He is like feeling it. I like watching him play. He's always had a nice game, but boy, the confidence he's playing with, and the Nets are really doing a good job, and they're like under the radar, ready for the playoffs. But, man, he's really got it going on.
Well, he's blossoming. He really is. I mean, this is his second year here, but he missed a lot of time last year with a knee injury, and this year he's getting a chance to play. What's so odd is that, and Jerry played a clip of Damari Carroll talking about how deep they are. D'Angelo Russell, and we saw this the other night, at times gets benched late in games. At times we don't see him in the fourth quarter in overtime. And considering he's had an all-star caliber season, and he's played really well, you would think it would drive him nuts, and there he is on the bench waving the towel and celebrating. I think it's a testament to how deep they are that they don't play him at times late in games and that he's okay with it, especially in a contract year, because you would think as an athlete he'd be ticked off saying, hey, why am I not out there crunch time in a big spot?
Yeah, exactly. In a contract year, they want to be out there as much as possible. But sure. I think it's the way they're playing, and, again, they are so under the radar, they've all bought in to whatever their coach is preaching. They're all on board.
You know who's – they're not under the radar to us, because every time the Nets get a big win, Joe opens the show by saying,
my partner here is in a good mood.
Yep. And I am.
Yeah.
So we're all over it.
What'd you think of the ending to the Knick game yesterday, Carl? how do you make that call? I mean, maybe it was goaltending. How do you make that call to decide the game?
You can't, but they were hoping nobody noticed because they were playing early and in London.
Yes, and it was the Knicks.
and it was the Knicks, right? We're undeserving. But, I still have my dream scenario. Our good times are coming. When
I understand,
Mr. Durant, Kyrie, KD, and KP are all together.
Yeah, it's funny on that last play, Alonzo Trier had no choice. Like I think that ball was going in.
Yeah, sure.
And so he had no choice on that play. And I think when they slowed it down, because remember, it took 5 minutes for them to clarify that it was good.
What's new?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have to run a play with like 0.4 seconds to go. I think they got it right, but I was surprised, like you guys were, that with 0.4 seconds, they're calling a goaltending. You very rarely see almost a walk-off goaltend, if you will, even though it wasn't technically a walk-off. But Trier was in a tough spot, and Moutier was up there, too. Moutier couldn't get up there. He went up there to try to make a block. He couldn't reach, and Trier hits the basketball. But it looked like by a centimeter it started to come down, so they probably got it right. But that was a weird way to end the game. Just a very strange way
to end
the game.
No doubt.
So which of these two games are you more excited for?
Wow. I'm so anxious to see the NFC game because this is – it's going to be kind of a chess match. The Rams seem to have a big chip on their shoulder, and they're out with something to prove. And, again, like I said, Sean Payton is ruthless. So he has his guys playing. The thing about the Saints, they make you play four downs of football because there's always a trick up their sleeve. So – I don't know if you guys saw the Philadelphia game when someone just put a clip up on their fake punt. They showed Fletcher Cox taking that play off on punt returns, and they said they had watched him all year, and that's the play he takes off. So they ran the fake punt right at him, and he wasn't ready, and they got the first down. So they look for every little thing to get an advantage to keep you alert because – you know, they make you play four downs. But it's going to be interesting because the Rams offensive line have got to be feeling really good about themselves the way
they were tremendous
pushed around the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, it's always styles make fights, any given Sunday, all those cliches. But I got to believe that with their running game on track and they got two running backs that they can say will be as, I guess, effective as Kamara and Ingram, it should be a fun game to watch. And it probably will be a lot more physical than we thought it would be.
By the way, this C.J. Anderson run has been in a way
remarkable.
And what's funny is when he did it the last 2 weeks of the regular season, it was very unnoticeable because
it didn't matter.
Right.
Really.
It didn't matter. I mean,
and he was filling in for Gurley, so
right.
we weren't
right.
really
That's
looking
right.
for
That's
him
right.
to have an impact. But I think that those games really gave him kind of the conditioning that he needs to make a run. I mean, he's an impactful player when he's in there.
Sure. Now, do you buy, because he's put on some weight. And obviously
well, he said
his
pregnancy weight.
Yeah,
did
do we
see
buy
that?
I mean, because I've had a wife who's pregnant.
I never put on weight when my wife was pregnant.
Yeah. Here's the pregnancy weight. His wife's pregnant, and he was sitting at home with nothing to do.
Really?
That's what that was.
Yeah,
he's
I guess
with
so.
His wife.
Right, yeah, right.
But
right.
didn't he want to get back into right. the NFL? Shouldn't he be
yeah,
working
well,
out?
Yeah, well, he got the call. But, you know, he said after the Raiders cut him, he thought the season was over for him.
Yeah, no, I
so
get that.
So he's probably sitting at home, and he's just snacking with his wife, and all of a sudden the call comes, and he wasn't completely out of shape, so
yeah.
he got back in there.
I think I actually lost weight when my
why?
My ex yeah, because yeah, I was like nervous about it. Another kid now.
You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right call.
Yeah.
I've but, heard you know, that before,
the
though.
The thing about Anderson,
yeah,
and that extra weight is probably not a bad thing for him because he's in football shape. You can see he doesn't wear down during the course of games. But he brings a different element of physicality. So now the Rams truly do have a 1-2 punch because he's a physical guy through the tackle box where Gurley is a speed cut explosive guy through. But when he's running through there, he's punishing people and he's got some speed and some burst, but he's making contact so they can wear you down.
Mm.
What would scare me is we think back to that.
Sounds
New
like you like
game.
The Rams in this game, Carl. Just to jump on.
Do you? Is that where you're leaning right now?
No, actually, I just want to see this as a good game. I'm done picking. I told you.
You mean done picking?
Because you know what? They got to play the games. I think it's going to be a fun game. If I had to pick, I'm going to pick the Saints.
Wow. All right.
But don't bet my pick, people. Please. I'm looking forward to watching the Rams play this game. Put it that way.
How?
Because I know, you know, Peyton will have something up his sleeve to try to steal the game. But I want to see the Rams do, you know, what they do in these football games.
Both of these coaches, obviously Sean Payton with a much longer resume, more established resume, but they've shown you they'll pull something out of that derriere. You know, they'll pull something that maybe you don't expect. Because I thought McVay kind of did that last week, went up 8. Instead of kicking a field goal to go up 11, he's saying, blank that, I'm going for it.
Yep. And his team felt so great about themselves going for it, too, because they were the more physical team in that game. Now, I'm going to start this sub-narrative to this, you know, this game, is because Sean Payton has for a long time been considered the whiz kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, McVay is kind of the belle of the ball. Could that be a little something we can
– a little jealous.
A little motivation for Peyton and the
Saints? Can we talk about that a little bit? I never heard it anywhere, but I just thought of it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's start that.
You know,
it's bitterness.
Maybe is the bell of the ball. And what did Wade Phillips say? My son knows him, so he should be a head coach too. So maybe there's a little coaching envy going on too.
Mm.
Which, by the way, this whole McVay thing is not McVay's fault.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
I hate to hold that against him.
Well,
everyone's obsessed with him.
Because he's been the prototypical
either.
Model of the new NFL modern head coach.
Right.
That's
why.
Why
not?
And he's
why
been pick, successful.
Why not pick the brains of a guy who's progressively thinking back to the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, that's what it is, but it's great.
Right,
I think it's great for football because they're pulling back. Listen, any guy, any coach who's smart enough to go look at successful coaches.
Absolutely.
Sure.
From
of
the
course.
Past.
Of course.
Find a way to modernize some of the things they do to fit their their personnel, I would call that somewhat genius. None of this is new. And, you know, everybody is in love with the run-pass option. I told you, Johnny Unitas was running that. I have film clips of that. We saw a few when we were previewing the Colts Giants game. We were looking at Johnny Unitas run-pass option. So I love the fact that McVay and his staff are smart enough and resourceful enough to do these things. So I will call that progressive. And the coaches that are stuck in their ways that won't learn anything from the past, well, this is what you get. So I love it. I love the fact that he's got assistant coaches that think that same way, because you know you're going to be innovative in the way that you approach football.
Do you see the Rams trying to slam the ball down their throats like they did to the Cowboys, though?
Absolutely. They're going to try.
You do?
Yeah, they're going to try. And just because they have two backs and the way they approached Dallas, they didn't get to the passing game until they felt like it. You know, they were moving the ball, and all of a sudden they could hit a pass or two and go back to running the ball. I think the Saints will be challenged to make sure that they get some of these negative down and distance plays to try to put something on the quarterback to make a play. But if he's got to operate on the second and fives, the third and fives, it's not going to be a good day for the Saints.
When you think back to the Saint victory over Philadelphia, the drive, if they're giving it a nickname, that incredibly long drive that ate up.
Where they overcame two holding penalties and a false start
See, that's the thing I wanted to bring up. I'm glad you said that, Joe, because the reason why it was such a long drive at times is they had a touchdown wiped off the board by Andrus Peete. Right. A Taysom Hill throws a touchdown pass to Alvin Kamara, wiped off by a hold by Peete. There was another false start by Peete. There was a bunch of penalties by Peete, and it's revealed basically he's just not healthy. He's not playing 100%. How much of a concern that you do have a banged-up Saint line? Unger is banged up. Obviously, Peete is playing hurt. I think it affected him certainly in that game, especially against a Ram defensive line that can get to the quarterback. How much concern about that matchup up front with New Orleans dealing with these kinds of injuries?
Well, they will have to deal with it with the players that they have. I think they'll make some adjustments. But here's the thing. You know, I just talked about, and I'm going to talk out of another side of thinking here. I talked about how this could be a physical game. Remember the first game they played? It was a fast break. I mean, they were scoring back and forth. So this is a game that can go either way. I don't know if the Saints or the Rams will be able to really define. I think one team wants to define what they are. The Saints are going to have to just kind of go about it as it comes. I think the Rams will have a plan to run the football. But when you look at what happened with the Saints versus who did they play last week?
Eagles.
When the Eagles just really stuffed them up front, they were kind of forced to pass the ball to get to the run because they weren't letting them have a lot of success running the ball in the middle. And I think the Rams front four could be the same way, but they figure it out. The Saints will. They'll pass it to get back in the game.
Mm. It's be interesting to see how it plays out. We're going to break here. You want to break here, and we'll come back. We'll bring Carl back to get your feelings on the Patriot-Chiefs game.
And one other thing, because we've already had a couple of people want to remind us that we brought this up a few days ago. We have to talk to Carl. I may have talked to you about this once before, but we have to bring up Carl Banks' incredible appearance at WrestleMania
11. Oh, my God. I can't believe
11.
That. That's what we forgot. And you were in LT's corner for that?
LT's corner.
Oh, my God.
So we'll talk about that coming up with Carl.
Peter, we do have to bring that up.
The great Peter King's going to join us at 12 noon, and we'll make our NFL picks at 12:20. I read this stat, Carl, and tell me if it means anything to you as a player, because it could just be one of those coincidental stats. It was NFL Research, I think, tweeted this out, that both Bill Belichick and Andy Reid in playoff game rematches significantly not as good of a record as compared to when they're facing a team in the playoffs that they didn't see in the regular season. With Belichick, it's stark. Against teams he had faced in the regular season, 12-9, which is against teams they hadn't faced, 16-1.
Wow.
Which is remarkable.
That is amazing.
Andy Reid, similar, 6-10. Teams he faced in the regular season, 6-3 versus teams he didn't face in the regular season.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Is it a coincidence, or you think there's something to it, Carl?
Well, I guess there's something to it. I guess the numbers are what they are. But I think with both of these coaches, when you have a chance to evaluate your performance against someone and how they approached you, you have a chance to make your necessary corrections and adjust your game plan. Against teams you have no familiarity with, then you're just kind of like looking at game film and your guys don't have any feedback and you're just relying on just game film. But when you have, in-game experience against opponents, you can better prepare for it because you know the type of players they use, the tempo of the game. But when you're watching it on film, that's what you have to go and prepare on. But I'm sure both of these coaches will do a good job of getting their guys ready to play because there are some weapons on both sides of the field that are going to be concerned to the other team.
You know, obviously for me, as a Jet fan, I have more interest in the Patriot Chief losing game. Not that I don't have any other one, but I'm, you know, just a little bit more because I want to see the Patriots lose, okay? And I look at it this way, too. I figure, look, if the Chiefs, after 49 years, can finally get to the Super Bowl, maybe there's hope not too far in the distant future for my team, okay?
Well,
so, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
so I look at it that way,
that's one theory.
Carl.
That's a good theory.
You know what I mean? I don't know how good it is. I'm just throwing it out there.
Listen, if the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl, they will have earned it. And they have a pretty good shot, right?
Well, they're right there one game away, and they're home.
Yeah,
so that's a pretty good shot.
You know, they can present some challenges, but both of these teams know each other. I think the game that they played, as competitive as it was, and the way the kid came back after some mistakes, you know, probably put the Patriots on notice that he ain't going to go away.
Right.
You're going to have to make plays throughout the game because, you know, the kid won't get frustrated. Now, the weather in the Midwest is going to be a mess, but that's of no advantage to either team in terms of the temperature because both teams play in, you know, regions where it gets cold.
Now, I want to ask you a question here, though, okay? Because we went through this yesterday about you look at some of the games, the playoff games the Patriots have played in recent years, they really haven't played in super, super cold temperatures, right? We went through this
yesterday. It's remarkable.
It really is.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, all right? Because you played in some, you know, really, really cold games. There's no mm-hmm. doubt about that. You got a 42-year-old quarterback. The older you get, the more difficult it is to deal with the cold. I mean, I see that for myself. I think that's pretty true.
Okay.
You got a 42-year-old quarterback who's going to play in this, and as great as he is, but he's going to play in this, like, you know, 0 degrees, whatever it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And the other kid's 23. When you're younger, you could handle the cold better. Is there any fact that you buy any of that, or is that nonsense?
I don't buy that.
All right.
Here's the thing.
All right.
Brady has played in some cold games. So mentally, it's where you have to learn to handle the cold weather. If you're physically fit and mm-hmm. It's not like Brady's coming off the beach somewhere and they say, hey, come in, play this game for us. Like it's a pickup game and all of a sudden it's so cold he can't move. They've practiced in it. He's been a part of cold weather his entire career. So mentally, he's okay playing in cold weather. I don't think that's going to be a disadvantage to or an advantage to the younger player. If the younger player doesn't like cold weather, he's not going to like cold weather. So I will say this much, though. When the weather is cold and the field conditions are a little iffy, I think offenses normally have – a lot of people think it's a defensive game.
Mm-hmm.
But think about defenses have to react.
Yeah, right. So the offense knows where they're going.
The offense knows where they're going. So as long as an offense is executing and they have a game plan for cold weather, then the defense is always going to be on defense. They're going to have to be reactive. But if you're going to try to run your offense and you don't have a – "quote unquote cold weather package," then you're gonna find yourself making a lot of mistakes. And so I know running game is very important for both of these teams. And when the weather is inclement, and where and how you throw the football. Now I think I was just listening to Drew Bledsoe yesterday, and he was talking about some of those across the field type of plays that Mahomes makes on a basically looks like a weekly basis.
Yep, yep.
He said it will come back to bite him, and it could come back to bite him in a inclement weather game where the ball may not get there as fast. Mm. The ball may hang a little bit, and it's always dangerous throwing back late across the field anyway. And if a guy can be wide open, but the ball's not traveling the way you want it, that could be a turnover opportunity. So I think this is going to be a fun game from a strategic standpoint, because I'm interested to see how the Patriots approach Mahomes. Will they make him a pocket passer and put more players in coverage to try to make him make throws as opposed to try to get pressure on him? Because he moves a lot. He's more dangerous out of the pocket, not as a runner, but as a passer. So do you say let's rush three and put eight guys in coverage and see, you know, see if he can beat us with the passing game? You can still have guys in the box to stop the run, but you're just going to drop your linebackers out and put them in coverage if it's a pass. And, you know, they can blanket a lot of areas and help themselves out against their really, really good space players. They have offensive players that are just almost unstoppable when they get in space with the football. So this could be a way that they can just keep people in front of them by not rushing so many guys, trying to get the pressures and just saying, okay, let's put enough guys in zones or in combination coverages so that if one of these speedsters catch the ball in space, he's not going to go into joystick mode on us and just outrun one guy. We'll put two or three guys around him.
You know, the coldest playoff game you played in, was that the Bear game in 85, the divisional playoff game in Chicago?
Yeah, that was the coldest I played in. The coldest one I've ever been at was the outside of the Bears, was when the Giants won in the playoffs against Green Bay. That was brutal.
Oh, yo, you're talking about you didn't play in it. That was the 07 game.
Right? Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
The game you're talking about,
right?
18 degrees, 3 was the wind chill. That's the official temperature of that Giant Bear game from January 85. Of 86. 85
yeah.
season,
yeah. Yeah, right. January 86, right.
The wind chill was a little something different, and I grew up in Michigan. But, you know, that stadium's right off the water.
Yep.
And that wind chill, the wind was coming in like needles. I mean, it was really, yeah. really
well,
brutal.
The funny
Sean Landetta whiffing on the punt. I could still
see
that.
I was there.
No, I know. I understand. Yeah.
I was on the field. I turned around, and there the ball was on the ground.
Oh, my God.
The weather forecast, and we all make this mistake, and I do it too. We look at weather forecasts 4 or 5 days out. They change. It's changing here in New York. We were supposed to get 12 inches of snow. Now my area says 5 inches.
Before you know, it's going to be 80.
Maybe.
I mean, 80 degrees.
It's almost 40 out there now, by the way.
No, right. I know.
Well,
I know.
That's what happened in Kansas City. The forecast now.
It's gotten better. I know.
It's going to be probably in the mid-20s, right. Which is normal.
That's like balmy now.
Well, it's your typical playoff game.
Well, if you get in the 20s, 30s, then it's, you know, weather's not really a factor.
Right, right, right.
Maybe this is just easy for me to say because I'm sitting there in my nice heated house watching these games. I tend to think most of the time weather isn't a factor. I mean, it's a factor that it's cold out and you're having to battle it, but I don't think
it matters.
But you think it matters. But do you think it, here's my point, do you think it significantly favors a team?
It can be a advantage. If you're playing against players that do not like cold weather, it is an advantage.
But how often, I guess my point is, how often does that happen? Like, I keep thinking of Michael Vick and the Falcons going to Green Bay.
Yeah,
like,
but they won
that game. Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
The amount of players who just don't like cold weather. Some guys have never been in snow, some of these young kids. But it can be an advantage. If you have the right game plan, if you were a physical football team mm-hmm. and you had a team from a different climate, it makes a difference. Guys will come out and they will play like it's cold, and the other team will play like the cold doesn't bother them.
Yeah.
It does matter.
I'm sure sometimes it does. I just think of Michael Vick and the Falcons going to Lambeau, and it wasn't 5 degrees
cold
that
was
day.
It, that
it, was, it was in the 30s.
Yeah, well,
so maybe
30s
that's the
is not bad.
Yeah, 30s is not bad.
But they're a dome team.
No, but 30s is not bad. Listen, it gets 35, 40 degrees in Atlanta.
Yeah, but they don't play outside.
But listen, You walk outside. You live your life outside of football.
So you're saying just in general
inclement weather.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Listen, you know better than I would about this. I'm speculating. It doesn't matter.
I can tell you where it shows up when the weather gets cold is in mistakes, drop balls, fumbles.
Well, let me ask you this specifically. So last week it was bad in Kansas City. It was not great weather. Mm-hmm. It wasn't frozen, but it was snowing. It was very icky out there. And I remember the days leading up, the question was, hey, who has the advantage, Indianapolis, Kansas City? Obviously, the Colts offense did nothing in this game. They had like 4 3-and-outs to start the game. Do you think that happened because of the weather? Did that impact them in your mind?
I don't know. I don't know what impacted them. The weather probably played in it. I would use it as an excuse if I were them, because I can tell you the Colts offense and defense that I thought would show up, boy, they weren't even in the building.
No, you're right.
Yeah, they were. Well, you know what? The Chief defense on last Saturday played tremendous.
Outstanding.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
They fooled everybody.
And let me ask you this, because I still look at this game, and I still say, boy, you got to hit Brady. Now, I understand he gets rid of the ball quickly, and I understand he's not throwing, you know, he's not throwing 45, 50-yard passes down the field. That's not what he's doing. I understand that. But can you see, you know, Ford and Houston and Jones and these guys, can you see them getting, like they did to Andrew Luck, getting to Brady in this game?
Unless they got a guy who can rush up the middle, they're not going to get to Brady.
Okay. All right.
I mean, when you look at their last game against the Chargers, their speed rushers didn't get a sniff.
Oh, they weren't even near him.
They didn't get a sniff. If you want to get to Brady, you get to him inside out. You don't go outside in.
So with that said, would you put Bob Sutton, I guess, the defensive coordinator, would you put your best pass rusher inside to try to, you know, approach it that way? Would you do that?
No. If your best pass rusher isn't 320 pounds, he's just going to get stoned at the wall. I mean, you've got to have a guy who's known to push the pocket. You've got to have guys, a big guy in there to push the pocket, to create some space. Now, I would take my speed rushers and loop them inside. I would do some of that,
some in-tackle twist type
stuff. But, you know, if you're just going to line your speed rushers up in there, that's a waste of time and talent. But you've got to figure out how to pressure Brady up the middle and rush inside out. And your speed guys can get there if you're pushing Brady up the middle in the pocket.
Who do you lean to? New England?
Yep.
Yeah.
I just think
hard to go against them.
I did once in my life.
No, last week you did.
Yeah, that was the first time ever, and that's never happening again. But I do believe that they will figure it out. They'll come up with a game plan. And, look, if they lose, it was because Kansas City had better players making better plays. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think their game plan and the way they're going to execute will find a way to not only keep them in the game but to win it.
We'll come right back. More with Carl Banks. We'll get his thoughts on his wonderful appearance. I was watching it the other night at WrestleMania 11 when he was in the corner of LT, who main evented it.
That is unbelievable.
It was impressive. Listen to WFAN anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app. Favorite us today. And if you have Alexa or Google, just say play WFAN and you'll be locked in.
Do you have Alexa, by the way?
I do.
You do.
Okay. Alexa's very good.
No, I've seen Alexa in action.
You can ask Alexa anything.
No, I understand.
So you'd be sitting at the dinner table and be like, Alexa, has the government reopened? And Alexa will say, no, the government has not reopened. But then, more important than that, well, not more important. Wow. Let me take that back, because this is important. But easier than that, like the day-to-day, you can say, Alexa, what's the weather outside?
So, like, if I said, like, boom. So if I said, like, Alexa, is Dove in a good mood today? Would Alexa know the answer?
Alexa would say, who the heck is Dove?
Exactly.
That'd be the response. But if you said, Alexa, who's Joe Beningo, Alexa may answer you.
Yeah,
Alexa may say, Joe Beningo is a radio host in New York City.
Oh, God.
You may actually get that. But the best part is also, there's a lot of best parts, obviously. Alexa, play.
Oh,
and then
no,
you
I know.
Say a song.
No, I know. I know
boom.
That. I know that.
And obviously,
no, that's pretty good.
You could say WFAN. Yeah.
Well, and then you, right?
Yeah. You could say, how many sacks did Carl Banks have in 1987? And guess what?
There you go.
Alexa will give you an answer.
Right. Right, that was
a short season.
A strike year. So
absolutely.
Carl didn't play the entire year.
Nor did anybody, really.
Nobody did.
Right.
That was the replacement players, though, that
year. That's right.
Did you ask Alexa who's going to win the Super Bowl?
That's a good question. If you ask futuristic questions, I think Alexa gives like a cop out. I don't know, or something.
Will she give you like the point spread or something like that?
She will give you the point spread.
Oh, yeah?
I have the Echo and the Alexa. It's a lot of fun. It's so much stuff. Do you get the emails, Evan, that give you the Alexa update?
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff.
Oh, you get updates?
I'll tell you something.
I'll tell you all the stuff it can do for you.
Oh, yeah. You could turn your lights on, lights off, really? Things like that. But you could also say, Alexa, and you could try this at home right now. Alexa, Simon says, and then say whatever you want, and Alexa will repeat it.
Wow.
And if you curse, she'll have a self-beep, you know?
Oh, so is that right?
She'll beep it for you. Oh, let me tell you, that's entertained me for hours at a time.
That's funny. Do you have Alexa, Dolph?
Dolph
does not have Alexa. Ernie, you got Alexa?
I can't afford
dating
Alexa.
A girl named Alexa.
who is Ernie?
That's right.
Yeah, Ernie's girlfriend's Alexa.
How awkward would that be?
That not the be machine, funny. A real lady.
So Carl.
Yes.
The other night, and I probably asked you about this before, but it jogs my memory every time I see it. I'm watching WrestleMania 11, and first of all, LT did a great job. He main evented a WrestleMania against Bam Bam Bigelow. How did that come about? Like, when did you get a call from LT, or did you get a call from the WWF saying, hey, do you want to be a part of WrestleMania?
I got a call from LT,
mm-hmm.
and then WWF. And I have to tell you, it is the experience of a lifetime.
Did you get paid for that, by the way, Carl?
I don't even know. I didn't even care, to be honest with you.
All right.
It was, and if I did, it wasn't
much. I'm sure
much.
LT got paid.
Oh,
yeah. Well, yeah.
I should have threw you at least a little bit.
Folks, you can tell why the now WWE has spanned generations. They do such a good job. The experience of the not only people in the ring, but the fans, the way they create these different experiences for fans is just unbelievable. And, you know, I worked for Vince McMahon for a day, right?
Right,
mm-hmm. right.
But,
right,
like,
right.
Even the WrestleMania pre-match meetings was just something to behold because he's so engaged. He tells you, a lot of you guys aren't wrestlers. Here's what we don't do in the WWF or the WWE. We don't do blood. We don't do X. We don't do Y. And it's just amazing. And the wrestlers all knew it. We had one guy that went rogue, Chris Spillman, went rogue.
Chris Spillman, the old Detroit Lion?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
analyst for Fox?
Yeah, he had a look in his eye. And he came out. As soon as we got in the ring, he came across and just went airborne. And forearm somebody in the face, and it was like, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
But it was the most amazing experience just to be in the ring, in the rink, and looking out. And it was just like,
Did they ever ask you to wrestle?
You were still playing.
I was still playing.
That's what I was so curious about. You were still asked at 95.
Okay.
But the thing, I was never asked to wrestle, but if they did, I would love to do it. But it was, you know, it's all about the main event. You've got to have a character to do that. I don't know if I'm a good enough character to go on the big stage like that. But it was a lot of fun being part of LT's team.
One of the guys who was with LT turned it into a wrestling career, and that was Steve Mongo McMichael.
That's
the old Chicago Bear.
Yeah,
that's
he
right.
ended up
He's
having
quite a character. That guy,
yes.
He really is.
He ended up having a couple-year run with World Championship Wrestling, so it didn't happen in the WWF, but I guess that experience warmed him up to it. But as an active player at the time, were you told, like, you can't get too physical, like you can't do anything crazy because you were still playing at the time?
No, but Vince McMahon acknowledged that we don't want you guys putting your careers in jeopardy. So you're here as a quote-unquote supporting, you know, teammate. So, you know, and like I said, some of the guys got, you know, Chris Spillman got really engaged in it and flew across the rink and the ring and knocked somebody silly. But I wasn't going to get in there because I had no practice and it was just to show up. So I wouldn't even know how to fall.
LT did a hell of a job. I went back and watched that match for a guy who is not a wrestler. He's just maybe the greatest football player of all time, but he's not a professional wrestler. Him and Bam Bam put together, it was a pretty good match. Mm.
Yeah, they trained for it. And listen, it's not a lot when it comes to physical stuff. There weren't many challenges that LT couldn't master. I mean, he's... golfer, he's whatever he needs to be when you give him a physical challenge. So I wasn't surprised. And he had the personality to pull it off. And it's some of the stuff, man, you'll sit there and you know him and you see the temper going on. I'm like, is he serious here or not?
Right.
And we knew it was wrestling, but it was like, oh, man, this is really getting intense.
Yeah, he did a good job, man. He did good. The keys to the local game, and there is no local game outside of us.
No
local,
no local
games.
No. But the keys, hire a good head coach.
Well, we'll see.
Hire a good quarterback. Mm. Hire, spend your $100 million.
By the way, you got to like I love the Greg Williams hiring.
I love it too.
That's a tremendous hire for the defense.
Yeah, he's a really good, I think, a good balance to what they're going to do on offense because he'll have this defense. And I'm excited to see what he does with Jamal Adams. He's my favorite safety in the league. He is just something special. But I want to see just how they employ him because he does so many things with his skill set, and Williams is a guy that can get the most out of you.
And, of course, Carl, giving us the keys to everything are brought to you, as always, by your Tri-State Kia dealer.
You can have every key but the key to my Kia.
That's it. Everyone's available. Right. You know, let me finish this, and I'll tell you this. But visit TriStateKeyLers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. I've said a few times, and we talked about this off-air, I take my son to the mall every day. It entertains him at 2.5 years old. And the thing he wants to go to all the time is this red car that's there. It is a Kia. I can confirm it.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
I wanted to see. What is it? So my son is obsessed with the red Kia.
So you'll be buying a Kia soon, too.
Well, for him?
Yeah,
we got some time.
Wow.
We got some time.
You never know.
One quick giant question, not about the quarterback, all right? Uh-huh. We know they have to improve their defense. Everybody knows that. What part of the defense to you would you say is the number one priority? And they're going to make more than one move. We understand that. But the number one priority in improving this defense is to target what, in your opinion?
I'm going to say the secondary, in particular, the safety position. I'd say corner, then safety.
Corner, then safety. And yep. They should bring back Landon Collins. You'd expect that, right?
I would hope so. I would hope so. I don't think there are five safeties better than him out there.
Hmm.
By the way, I want to apologize.
For?
I have been told that every time I've been saying Alexa while people are listening, it has been messing with a lot of our listeners' Alexas.
Is that really true?
So I want to apologize.
And really?
No, just say Alexa, tune in to Joe and Evan.
Yeah. Alexa, WFAN. Hopefully we'll get that back straight.
Wow.
So to anyone that's affected, I apologize.
Right.
Just want to make that public service announcement.
Interesting.
If they are, it really worked.
Well, this is all part of the master plan. You know, we can get on the airwaves and say whatever, and Alexa will turn into like zombie apocalypse.
I know it's crazy. Carl, have a great weekend.
Thank
Carl,
you,
always a pleasure.
Enjoy.
Carl.
All right, enjoy the games, guys.
Yep, thanks.
The great Carl Banks. I'll tell you something that I was curious about doing. I forget what office it was. It wasn't the presidency or anything like that. I think when one of the appointees was going through in the after Trump was elected, I kept asking Alexa, who is this? I don't know if it was Secretary of State. I'm just using it as an example.
Okay.
Who is Secretary of State? And I was waiting for it to change. Like, I was so geeked out.
Right.
I was like, when is Alexa going to update it?
We're on our second one for Big Don now.
No, I know. I was like waiting for the official time. Like, if I was up at midnight, I would have been like, what year is it, Alexa? 2018. Like, waiting for it to hit zero to see when it changes.
I see.
It can be fun. But now I'm not saying that name anymore because that name is
affecting. Yeah, we don't want to mess up with anybody else's situation. I'm not even going to say the name. We won't mess up with it.
Yeah, I'll finish with this to get it back on track. Alexa, play WFAN.
There you go.
All right, so now you're back on track, everybody.
Stellar.
Hopefully.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.